Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra. Joining me is Jesse Hall. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Excellent. It's awesome. And, you know, we're always feeling great after divisional wins. You know, as much as it's fun to beat the Lions when Patricia's there, it's also good to know that, okay, when they have a better head coach, you know, I don't know how much better he is, but Darren Bevell's a better head coach, they're still able to get the victory. 31-24. Initial instinct is, I don't know, it's as much as there were a lot of players who played really well, and I'll get into that in just a sec, but I'm a little disappointed in that the Packers got really lucky and still only won by 7. I wanted more from this team this week.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say lucky is the word. It just, division game, so you can throw records out. We've struggled in Detroit the last couple of years. I don't know what it is, but it was just a weird game. Only 8 possessions by the offense. They did what they had to do. Special teams had a bad play or a bad return again. But it was just a weird game. Penalties. It was sloppy. I guess I would say the Packers made a lot of mistakes, especially that one drive. I think it was 6 penalties in one drive. And it was just when you need to bury a team, they didn't bury them. So that was alarming, because they should have just ended that thing and they let them stick around, and you can't do that.
And I mean, the defense, it's, you know, long drives. The Lions had, I think, like 3, like, you know, 6-plus-minute drives. So, you know, the defense got tired, and I think, you know, all those penalties at the end, what it ended up being, I think I counted 7 penalties on defense. So, I mean, that's, maybe you can excuse them for being so tired. And it's funny, because I thought there were some defenders that made some really key plays, especially at really clutch moments. So that was good to see, that when, you know, certain players came alive right at the moment where they needed to. And it's something we've been, especially one player in particular, really been kind of clamoring for that the entire season. And I thought he really showed up and maybe had arguably his best game of the season. That probably already spoils it, because we talk about him so much.
2 of them, I think. But the other guy we don't talk about, because he just shuts everybody down. So...
That's true. That is true. Okay, yeah, in that coming alive in that particular moment. Well, yeah, the one guy's been, he's been that good all season. So, yeah, there's no change there. No, I'm actually surprised Marvin Jones did as well as he did. But then I don't know if he caught a pass ever covered by Alexander. So
I don't think so, yeah.
which is, again, if you good debate on Marvin Jones on the last week's Fantasy Pod, where I didn't have him ranked in my top 40, and Kayla was quite... content to tell me how wrong she thought I was, but I gave my point that I thought I thought Alexander would shadow Jones. It seemed like there was a certainly in the first half it was maybe more, because we saw more in the second half Jones get covered by Kevin King and Stafford start to kind of look that way. So it maybe was one of those things where at a certain point they just kind of stopped stressing about it. And I mean, it's, you know, I still think Jones is, you know, by far the best specifically wide receiver for the Lions, but just, you know, I guess we didn't really see much from Cephas either. I guess the best play by anyone else was Agnew, but that wasn't even on offense. The one thing I do want to say about Jones specifically is, so okay, a couple times I thought the Packers got lucky. I don't know. The one time was that second half, that long drive the Packers had. They really flipped the script in the second half, and they're the ones that had the long possessions. But that first one was on a third down, aided by a holding call, and they never showed it on the replay. I never saw it. I'm not sure if that was even a call. I'll trust the refs to say it probably was, but I'm not even really sure what happened there. So, you know, kind of got lucky that on whatever it was, 3rd and 17, they got bailed out with a first down, with the penalty. So, you know, again, undisciplined Lions. That's been a thing for them. Although without Patricia, maybe a little bit better, I think. But a little lucky there. But then the one I really thought was the Marvin Jones catch, no catch. And I'll be honest, instinct, I thought he was out of bounds, like on the first live view, like, okay, that's close. But I remember writing down in my notes too, okay, caught the ball out of bounds, right? And then I'm seeing the replay and they, you know, they challenge it. And I don't know, man, I don't know how that wasn't overturned, because that looked like a catch to me. Both feet in bounds, he had control. So I even scratched out of my notes the out of bounds part. And I kind of put, okay, 1st and 10 for the next play, getting ready. And then, like, you know, call stands. I'm like, oh, what? Oh, and scrambling. What down is it now? It's 2nd and 17. What? So I just thought that was really lucky, in that I'm really still not sure why that wasn't overturned.
Man, and it's been like that all year, not just with Green Bay, just going around the league, where I don't know what a catch is or what a catch isn't, or how some things get overturned when it's like there's not enough evidence, or if it's called this, they can't do it. I agree with that one. He caught the ball. I mean, he made a hell of a play. Both feet were inbounds. The ball didn't move. That one, yeah, that was baffling that didn't get overturned, because I've seen worse things get overturned or stand up, and that one didn't. On the other one, yeah, you're right. They never showed it again. It was a super late flag. Like, you didn't see it on the field. It almost felt like they were going to go to, like, break or something, and all of a sudden, bam, hey, first down, they're going, you know, that was weird. But there's a few weird ones on both ways where just they didn't re-show them, or it was tick-tacky here and there, and it's like, oh, man, like, are you going to let these guys play, or is it going to be wishy-washy? It was a weird game, but I agree. That catch, it was a phenomenal catch. He caught that ball.
So, yeah, I guess, and that's really, again, we'll ignore the first one and just say, okay, the Packers just have put together a really good drive, but it still bugs me a little bit. But, yeah, I definitely was surprised that wasn't called. As someone who started a lot of Adrian Peterson and DeAndre Swift in fantasy, I was like, come on, let them go to the one. But I mean, actually, they got to the one a few times, and they never ran it in. It was always, well, I guess the Kerryon Johnson touchdown. But the Lions pulling a bit out of the Packers trick, and let's pass it right on the one-yard line. It's kind of been seeing that a lot from the Packers this year. Not complaining. When you give it to Aaron Rodgers, why not? I know, as much as I do trust Aaron Jones. But, I mean, for the Lions, I suppose, you know, we trust Matthew Stafford. I thought he navigated it well. As much as, you know, again, I thought the defense played pretty well, but they were able to constantly convert first downs. I think big credit goes to Stafford. But I do want to say, if I had to pick one aspect of this game for either team that I was most impressed with, it's got to be the Lions' run defense. That's been an atrocious unit. I mean, that's probably been worse than the Packers' unit for most of the year. And I don't think our offensive line played that poorly. It's tough to know, like, okay, what's the defense playing well, offensive line playing good? You know, it's not as if anyone ever penetrated into the backfield. Like, the line was there getting enough separation to get runs going, but could never get to the second level. And anytime they were, whether Collins or any of the linebackers, just really shut plays down. So I think mass kudos to the Lions' run defense in general, because I thought Jones was going to walk all over them through the game.
Again, going back to, it was like a weird game. So our run defense, I thought, played really good too. First of all, the defense didn't give up 300 yards for two games in a row. That's good, but it gets masked by third and longs again, right? Like, it's just like, oh my God, get off the damn field. And we couldn't get off the field when it mattered. But as far as like total yards, they're pretty dang good. This is what I will say. Billy Turner is a better tackle than guard. And that's not to say he played bad, because I think it was like a stalemate at the line. Like, where I thought too, where we both talked last week, we should run all over him, dominate. Rodgers basically didn't get touched when throwing the ball, but it was like there was no movement with the line. It just seemed like, okay, the Hulk's kind of there, but it was just a hat out of hat and no movement, and we really couldn't generate much. And it was surprising. They played really good. They played tough, which, again, a division opponent, throw everything away. But they played a lot better on defense than I expected, especially in the run game.
I do wonder, was this, you know, and I badmouthed them enough this offseason, not badmouthed them, but I was kind of, this offseason, especially, you know, before the, you know, specifically March, February, April, kind of before free agency, I guess, was kind of thinking, oh, is Corey Linsley not going to be on this team this year? But I wonder, was this the first game where they really missed him? And maybe is that where they miss him more, is in the run game more than in pass protection?
I'm thinking so, because our pass protection is great, right? Like, nobody's getting to Rodgers. It doesn't matter who we have out there. It's just working great. Our backs pick up blitzers. You put Big Dog out there. Mercedes Lewis blocks as good as a lot of tackles in this league. Like, he does not get any credit that he deserves there. That dude's a monster. But yeah, in the run game, we just couldn't generate any movement. And you go back to the week before, you take away Jones's long run, it was kind of the same deal, right? We were just kind of picking up little things here, little things there. Kind of, you know, it was tough yardage. It was tough sledding. We need to get more on the ground.
And we'll get into the – so this episode is kind of a mix of both. We're recapping the Lions game. We'll preview the Panthers game. But I do think that this is a game where they really need to fix it. They can really – you know, I thought they'd be able to, again, run all over the Lions, and I still think the same thing about the Panthers. So, you know, prove it this game. They should be able to handle the Panthers. Again, handle the Lions. As much as 7 points, you'd like to see more. Win's a win. And as in every win, you know, we always name Packers player of the game. But honestly, Jesse, I don't think I've ever had a harder time than this week. I have a list of 6 names. I have 6 names that could all get it. So I don't even know where to start. So, I mean, I guess we've talked enough about the Lions offense. I guess we've talked about the Packers offense. I guess we've recapped the game pretty well. Long drives. There weren't very many of them. So what are your thoughts on that?
I've already been debating this already this week. On offense, MVS, he had a complete game. He came up when he was needed. Probably had the best catch of his career on that back shoulder. Yeah, he didn't go over 100, but he didn't make mistakes, right? He was targeted 6 times, 6 catches. 3 of them were for first downs or a score. You know, like, it was a big deal plays, right? It was a confidence booster for him. Rodgers kept going his way. I'm going MVS on offense, and I don't even want to think about it anymore because there's other options, so...
I did think that was maybe, honestly, the only other person on offense I could think of, and it's just because it's another one. There's a few of those, the Packers, where it's like, you could easily give it to this player almost any week because they play consistently. It's Bakhtiari. But yeah, I was also leaning, you know, this could be the week before I finally give it to Valdes-Scantling. I can't remember one week, you were pushing for it 1 week, too. Might have been the week we gave it to Amos in the Jags game. But this did seem like, you know, he had to really step up as the number two very clearly and you know, key throws at key times, touchdown, you know, early in the game when, you know, you're trying to build that lead, especially after seeing the Lions with these long drives, knowing, okay, man, there might not be too many more possessions available for the Packers. So they need to score as much as possible. So yeah, I think MBS is definitely a good call there.
Yeah, I mean, of course, yeah, we always, you know, omit, like, you know, Bach, Rodgers, and Adams just because they do their thing. But yeah, the next man up, it was MVS. Yeah, I mean, again, 6 targets. A couple weeks ago, we're like, hey, you know, he'll catch 2 and drop 1. You know, and this week he was the man, and they were not easy catches on some of them. So, yeah, he's my offensive guy. I'll go that route.
That touchdown catch, that might be the best catch he's ever made. Not to disparage all the other receptions, but that was a really tough, really great coverage, and was able to you know, make the contested catch, the concentration, the ability to get, you know, over top of the receiver on the deep route too. You know, he ran the route well, which is always, that's always been his strong suit, is, you know, how he's running, how he's getting open. But yeah, to finish it off with that catch, did that give the Packers the lead at that point?
It did, but I think what's even bigger was the timing with him and Rodgers, because that was a dart.
Yep.
A month ago, that it would have seemed like the timing was off and he went to turn at the right time, and it just would have seemed like, oh, they just missed it by a split second. And they were in tune with each other. And that is the biggest part from how he played this week. Just the timing with those two, they were on fire. It was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Valdes-Scantling's playing into his way to be part of this Packers team beyond his rookie contract. I think he has 1 year left after this.
So he's got 1 more. He's got 4 years. Yep.
So, okay. Well, anyway, we'll talk about the future of the team at another point. So those are the players on offense. Quickly touch on special teams, because as Agnew's making that return, I'm like, oh, not another one of these. Is J.K. Scott going to have to? Then I realize, oh, wait, this is a kickoff. Crosby's back there. Oh, we're fine. And then sure enough, Crosby, you know, gets, you know, goes down and dirty, you know, gets low center of gravity, get the hit on the player, don't get cute, just get that guy out of bounds, right? Like, that's the way. I hope J.K. Scott was watching that. Not that you want to see Crosby ever have to do that, because, man, this is suddenly starting to become a theme more than just, you know, the Jags game, we kind of like, oh, yeah, the wind in that game, and, it was one of those where he caught off guard, it's the Jags, we were really, you know, maybe the whole team, that whole game seemed like they were just kind of lethargic anyway. So I kind of more chalked up to that. But now suddenly on a punt return, a touchdown against the Eagles last week, a kick return that almost ended up in a touchdown against the Lions. Like, this clearly needs to be worked. But I assume they've worked at it last week. So why is it suddenly becoming even more of a problem?
It's a curse, man. Okay, yeah. Crosby did handle it good. You know, he funneled him to the sideline, you know, took away the cutback lane, forced him out. Good play. But it should never get to him, right? Like, especially in a year where there's only been four special teams touchdowns and we have two of them. That's bad. That's epically bad. That's not good. Nobody returns kicks. Nobody does in the league. Kick that sucker through the end zone, which it seems like the Packers don't for some reason. But I said that last week. I'm like, well, what's the one concern you have? And it's special teams, and they did it again. Like, it can't happen. Good teams don't have these blunders, and it's been 3 weeks in a row. It's got to stop.
They need to start kicking it through. Even on punts, if you're Scott, maybe start, yeah, you know what, maybe instead of trying to pin them, let's just go for touchbacks, because this is...
Or kick it out of bounds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, on a punt, you can do that too. Yeah, so right. I just think... I think you can trust this defense enough when the other team's at the 20, unless it's 3rd and 17, then at which point you know they're going to convert. So just don't get to that point, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, but you have to, right? Because
yeah,
these big returns... Gas is our team. They're the most in, you know, the offense goes down there, does something good, or vice versa. Three and out, we punt it, and it's a big return or a touchdown to go up, and then the next play, they're inside the 20. Like, these are momentum shifters where against good teams, you don't get back up from that kind of crap. You know, it's a big damn deal, you know. So I don't know what they're going to do. They got to clean it up. I don't know if I was screaming at the TV, say, you know, you got to roll heads. You know, if you got to find someone that can coach these guys up, I don't know what you got to do, but I don't want to see it again. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. But I will say, you know, just it was that tackle was just another reason why I had actually considered Mason Crosby for Packers player of the game. Clutch 58-yard touchdown at the end. Again, penalties, right? Taking a penalty on, was that Elgton Jenkins' false start on that field goal?
Yeah, that's what they said. False start on the center, which, okay. I mean, yeah, well, he didn't snap it up. Yeah.
It's right. It's when everyone else is, when everyone else goes, the center's the only one not moving, you know, it's on the center. That's the problem. But yeah, so it's, I mean, to you know, 53 was going to be like, okay, that's no gimme. I know they're indoors. He loves to kick in Detroit. Oh, wait, was Detroit the game where he missed the four field goals? Okay, so other than that game, he really likes to kick in Detroit.
Yeah, no, it was clutch, man. Back him up, 58-yarder, and he bangs that sucker through. It was huge. It was huge.
Tying a career long, it was needed to kind of at the end or towards the end of the game put it up by, I think it would have been at two scores at that point, and they ultimately did score another touchdown. But
yeah, it gave us a 2-score lead. Where I mean, unless another special teams kickoff problem, if we scored again, you know it. It basically was the dagger. It was a little early to call it the dagger, but it was. So good for him, man. That we actually, out of all the crap on special teams, we have a damn good kicker that can hit field goals.
And I mean, he's been with the team since 2006, 7, 8.
Yeah, the year after year after Rodgers got drafted, right?
Six. I thought it was six. Then at first I was like, is that too early? But yeah, it's like, I mean, he's been consistent. I know we talked about in the offseason, all-time Packers players, and it, you know, unanimously chose Crosby.
Yeah, well, we did. Well, I mean, back in the day, you had other kind of athletes that kicked too. But yes, as a pure kicker, he's the guy.
yeah, of course. Right. Paul Holmgren's pretty good player. Don Hutson, pretty good player. So yeah, obviously they're good kickers too. But speaking of Don Hutson though, Adams breaking his consecutive touchdown record, 8 consecutive games. I mean, what can't this guy do? And if you know, I kind of burned that one on week one and hit on Packers player of the game on him. But you can almost give it to him every week too.
It's automatic. I mean, he's good for 100 yards in a TD, and I don't see that stopping. I really don't. Like, he's gonna find the end zone unless something changes every damn week. I think we take it for granted because he's been so good, but he's just so good. It's amazing to watch. This is sometimes I gotta step back because, like, you know, of course we want to win every week and the ultimate goals, but just to step back and watch how Matt LaFleur has this offense humming, it's really fun to watch this team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm trying to think back to last year early in the season, before, and I guess it was early because it was leading up to him, the foot fracture against the Eagles game. I guess that was week 4, week 5. Anyway, so that first month, Adams didn't have a touchdown, and it was one of those, what's going on? Is this going to be, because he had been, double-digit touchdowns 3 years in a row, including the Brett Hundley year, which, again, that's only half Brett Hundley, half Aaron Rodgers, but still, like, that was pretty impressive to still manage to get, I think it was 12 touchdowns that season. Like, it was ridiculous. And it's Brett Hundley.
Last year was weird. It was a weird outlier because he was getting the targets and everything. It just wasn't getting it done to the end zone. But we also really weren't scoring in the red zone either.
Well, I think, I mean, Aaron Jones with all his rushing touchdowns too. So anytime they were scoring in the red zone, it usually came on the ground. There were multiple games where Rodgers didn't throw a single touchdown just because, like, I think the Dallas game, I think Aaron Jones had 4 touchdowns. So just kind of, why throw it? We could just run it down their throats.
Exactly. Or it was even a pass to Jones too. So it was a totally different style, but whatever. Yeah. The guy's amazing. Offense is humming. I mean, we're scoring 30 every week. I don't care who we play. That's just what we're doing. We're scoring 30. It's just up to the D, which I want to see 40 a few times too, because it seems like they go in a low a few times. But yeah, it's that's me being really nitpicky when I say, yeah, I expect 40 one of these weeks. So
to the defense, because I do think there's a few players as well, alongside Valdes-Scantling and Crosby and Bakhtiari, of course, that could maybe be considered Packers player of the game as well. I thought Savage played incredible, and I had to go back actually listen to some episodes. Did we pick Savage? But no, it was Amos the 1 week. But like, there's quite a few games this week where Savage, you could make arguments. I mean, he came in a key sack on a blitz on one of the drives. Can't remember which drive that was, but he was making good moves, covering really well. I thought the defense as a whole did a really good job minimizing TJ Hawkinson's impact. And I think a lot of that actually did come from the safeties more than the linebackers. Maybe they were just so concerned, okay, we want to get Amos or Savage on him at all times, rather than, all due respect to Kamal Martin, he's still a rookie, right? So maybe to if that's really the biggest threat they're worried about, maybe this was a week to maybe shift more towards the safety coverage on the line, on the tight end. Certainly worked, I thought. I mean, again, Hawkinson did have the touchdown. It was a 1 yard touchdown. I thought that was a really well designed play by Darrell Bevell, to get him, the fake block, to get him around, get the did Stafford like shovel pass it to him or something? Like, it was well designed.
Yep, it was a good play. I think we gave it to Savage last week with the 2 picks. He was awesome. I think we said, it's 3 games in a row, this guy's stacking successes. And then this week again, like, this guy, when it seems like he can just go out there and play and not have to think and fly around, this week he did it again. Like, he was lightning on that blitz. He was good in coverage. Him and Amos were very sure on the backside. Kirksey struggled again, I thought. His PFF grade is awful. Sullivan got picked on a little bit, which he's had a few bad games now, which is kind of concerning. King wasn't perfect, but as far as the safety play, it was awesome. I thought it was awesome. I mean, Jair Alexander, if that ball's up another foot, that's pay dirt. He scores on that one. He gave up 2 catches, one to a running back and one to a receiver for, 4 yards? So, wow. Hey, they picked on Jair this week, right?
2 targets, right? I mean, that's usually more than he normally sees.
Yeah, exactly. And Kenny Clark ragdolled their line. He was a menace again. Like, he was awesome. I mean, he was awesome.
This and the Colts game, I think, were his 2 games this year that were the most consistent snap to snap. And I think this game really did come down to that third quarter. Like this is what kind of wrote how the narrative of the second half went, was Packers, that long drive, again, aided by that one penalty, but still, to march down the field, and how long that drive took, I wrote it down.
It was a 14, or a 12 and a 10, I think, they were close to that in the third quarter.
Yeah, because they took, I remember they took up, because the Lions had, what was it, a 3 and out on their only possession that of the third quarter. And that sequence, so third down, you've got, and one thing I actually noticed in this game, they doubled Za'Darius Smith a lot. They weren't nearly as concerned with Kenny Clark. They were focused so much on Za'Darius Smith. So part of me almost wants to give it to Smith, because he was still able to kind of make enough of an impact even when being double teamed constantly. But because he was drawing all those double teams, it opened things up for Lowry and Clark. And on this play, Clark one-on-one against the left guard, I don't even know if the guard touched him. Like, he just got right to Stafford, forced that throw to get rushed. I know Jaire Alexander came across and the great pass knockdown. That didn't look like it was, like that would have been a tough catch for the receiver anyway. He would have had to kind of go low and stop. Like, if Alexander had just let him catch it, he would have been able to, like, very easily tackle him immediately. So, I think it would have been, he would have got the first down probably. I'm trying to think about, yeah, I think it was close. Like, it would have been one where the catch would have probably been so difficult that Alexander may have been in position to make the tackle and stop him short. So, but still, great knockdown by Alexander. I know the broadcast was really complimentary of that, but I thought that play was all Clark coming in and rushing and forcing Stafford to get that ball away. I almost thought he was going to knock it down or you know, get a hit on Stafford somewhere. I was surprised he didn't, to be honest. I was almost surprised Stafford actually got it away. But to me, that was the one play where, okay. And I remember I was looking at it like, Clark, I can see it. Like, you're against the guard. You're not on the center. Like, it'll be tough to double team. Like, this is, you really need to. And then sure enough, he did. And it was. It's the thing that reminded you of the reason they've paid him so much money.
And it almost would have been better if he didn't get to him, because if Stafford had another second, that was a pick. It was gone. He was gone. But with that rush, he had to go down low. But yeah, you don't see that kind of pressure up the middle unless it's Aaron Donald, right? Like, nobody comes up the middle like that, where you're so cat-like quick, where you're already beating the guy off the ball and he doesn't even get hands on you. Like, that's dominating. And I don't know what it is. Once it gets to like December, Kenny Clark just turns it the F on, and it's awesome. It's great. So, he played some good interior linemen the last couple of weeks, and he's kicking their butts. So look out, Carolina.
Yeah, exactly. And I do think, so the one thing I'll go back to the Bears game last year. I always go back to that one for some reason. It just marked me so much that whenever Clark was winning, he was really blowing up plays. Like, he was getting in the backfield tackles for loss. This game, when he was getting off blocks, it'd be a tackle for a 2-yard gain or a tackle for 1-yard gain. So I think that's just the one thing, that in the run game, he still wasn't getting into the backfield quick enough. He's still getting off blocks really well, which is nice to see. And he was able to do that pretty consistently throughout the game. And I mean, it's good to get, a 2-yard run. That's good for the defense if you're only allowing 2 yards on a running play. But I guess maybe still, the expectations heightened with the contract. So maybe I'm expecting a little bit too much from him almost at times. So that was maybe my only hesitation on when we've seen him, when he really makes an impact, he really blows up plays on a, and he didn't necessarily do that here, but again, when it was absolutely needed, third downs, he was coming through.
Yeah, and well, on those early downs too, he's playing basically like a zero concept where he's controlling both gaps. So he's, getting into his guy, whether he's getting chipped or not, reading where they're running, shedding that and making the tackle. If they're getting 2 yards off of that, that's a hell of a play. That's a good man-on-man play. So yeah, it might not be as sexy, but they're asking a lot of him to do that. So I will give some credit. Dean Lowry has been playing better too, who early this season, I'm like, oh my God, this guy's awful. And Kiki is still stacking successes too, where he might not be showing up in the stat sheet every week. He's getting some pressures coming off of 5-tech. He's getting pressures. He's doing what he needs to do to open up for other guys. And I don't know, the whole D-line's getting better. Like, Preston is hit and miss, but Rashawn Gary's making a play every game too, right? So I really like where this front is going. They are playing when they have to. Well, look at that, 2 sacks in a row. Hey, they drove down the field, bam, take them out of field goal range, or sack and then take them out of field goal range. Like, that's huge. That's huge early in the game.
So yeah, so again, tough question of who's Packers player of the game. And did we pick Savage last week? Because I thought we picked Rashawn Gary last week.
Maybe, yeah, you're right. We went with Gary, but it could have been Savage. So.
But I almost feel like maybe giving it to Savage this week, and that helps that. So, I mean, again, it's Crosby, Savage, Clark, or Valdes-Scantling. Like, it's got to be one of those four, I think, or Bakhtiari. We could really give it to Bakhtiari if we wanted to, but because, I mean, Flowers had nothing this game. Like, he was a ghost. I actually thought Wagner played really well against his old team, too.
Yeah. Ah, man, I want to give it to Savage, but I think he's going to have a bigger game coming down the stretch here, but that's okay. We can go Savage. I'm cool with that.
All right, we'll think about this throughout the episode, because again, I think I'm teetering between Savage and Valdes-Scantling, to be honest. So we'll check back at the end of the episode. So yeah, so now we officially are, well, I guess we are actually officially in week 15 now, regardless during when we're recording this. And yeah, here we go, taking on the Panthers at home. You know, and
Saturday
night football too. Yes, I believe it's 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central.
Yeah, past my bedtime. I'm on the East Coast, but yeah, whatever. It is what it is.
Luckily, it's a Saturday. We can afford to stay up late. And I mean, again, I feel like, again, offensively, I thought it was the same preview as last week. So go listen to last week's preview. But we already mentioned it. The run game has to be better. It has been dominant in certain games this year. You know, kind of expecting that better against the Lions, certainly. We should be able to expect that against the Panthers. But again, I also think one thing that LaFleur did well last week is once they saw the run wasn't working, they quickly went to a more pass heavy approach, especially on first downs, which worked. I mean, I think it was what it was needed. So it was good on LaFleur to adjust that. If you go in with the game plan of run heavy and it doesn't work, they'll quickly get out of that. He's going to recognize. So that's good to see LaFleur do that.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot, like you said, a lot of like the same kind of scheme going into this game. Being in North Carolina, I have a weird respect for the Panthers because I think they're really athletic in the front seven, but they're young. They're starting three rookies on that D line. That is insane. They're a 4-3 front with Brian Burns being a second year player, which Brian Burns is really dang good, by the way. So. Packer fans that don't know this guy, he was my favorite pass rusher and we took Gary last year, but I'm happy Gary's coming on. But Brian Burns is a beast off the side, but they have three rookies starting on that line. They got a ways to go. I think we can win in the trenches, but then the linebackers, another rookie, Jeremy Chin, who's a hybrid, another guy that I really liked in the offseason, a hybrid linebacker safety kind of guy, who's really athletic and flies around. And then you got Shaq Thompson too. So, and who gives us problems? Athletic linebackers, right? You know, think of Tampa Bay, not saying this is the same kind of linebacker group, but we have problems with an active D line and really athletic linebackers. So I respect this group. I really do. Now saying that, the secondary, I think we can smoke them. So it's pick your poison, chess match, whatever you want. I would like to impose our will and run down their throats and be bullies. But I think we might have to soft phone them up and use some play action and really, you know, take advantage of a weaker secondary.
It's funny because I was actually really impressed with how some of the defensive backs are playing against the Packers. Well, because the Lions, down Jeff Okuda, down Desmond Trufant, suddenly they're down to backup corners. And yeah, Adams had his way with them, but he has his way with veteran corners who are, team starter locked in and it doesn't really matter who's there. While Valdes-Scantling did have success, I did think, the corners came alive. Was it Roberts who made, quite a few good plays, knocking passes down, just making good tackles. And so I almost wonder, is going to, maybe now I'm thinking if they're even more vulnerable in the secondary, do the Packers just stick to pass heavy anyway and saying that's, with Rodgers, that's the best way to exploit it and they're, maybe save the run game for the playoffs? I don't know. I feel like you want to get into rhythm and have it in games like this where you really can exploit it, but what do I know?
Well, no, definitely. I mean, especially, you want to run the ball, right? You want to be able to establish that, say, hey, we can do this when we want to. We're up by two scores, stop us, right? We're going to run the ball three dang times, try to stop it. And if they can't, guess what? That matters. So do you want to have that option? Of course. If you can't do it on a regular basis, I'm kind of happy that it's not Mike McCarthy style where it's like, hey, we're going to run the first two downs no matter what. And then all of a sudden we're 3rd and 9. So that's why I credit LaFleur where, instead of getting pigheaded, he's like, okay, we'll pass on first down and we'll have 2nd and 3 and we can do whatever the heck we want, figure it out. So I would like to see, think about last week, everybody's, I don't know if we're going to get into that Aaron Jones getting a new new agent and all that, but oh, he didn't get a lot of touches. Well, whatever, you know, it is what it is. But are we really worried? We're pretty efficient on offense, so I'm cool with anything. I really think that, you know, like Tonyan and guys like that, we can attack the middle of the secondary. I really do.
Totally over my head. No idea that Aaron Jones got a new agent. Like that, completely missed that. I'm assuming Matt LaFleur did too, because he doesn't seem like he's a responsible coach. Like that's not going to affect how he calls the game. Is oh, this guy got this agent. Like yeah, if the front office wants to be mad at him for that, or you know, the front office wants to say oh, play these guys more to you know deflate his value, sure. But I don't think LaFleur is buying. He's doing whatever it takes to win. And again, Jones was out there and he wasn't having success. So why keep running?
It's a deep conspiracy theory, man. It's not real. It was just, I'm reading between the lines on social media. Yeah, he got Drew Rosenhaus, good agent, whatever. But yeah, that's why he's not touching the ball this week. I'm like, I think our offense was humming. I don't think that has to do with anything, but whatever. I just, you know how that conspiracy theory stuff is.
I love a good conspiracy theory, but at a certain point, it's illogical, because if you're thinking that, you're thinking, oh, well, he's going to demand too much money and be gone, why not use him up now? Take all of the gas out of the tank and then send him to free agent with nothing left, right? I mean, that's pretty harsh and cruel, and I hope the best for Aaron Jones regardless. But, yeah, I mean, the Cowboys, the Steelers, and I mean, that's, you know, nothing wrong. I mean, I'm sure those players are, you know, I'm sure Jones wants more touches to be able to increase his value. But again, if it's not effective, they're not just going to stubbornly run into a brick wall. So I could see the same thing. If the Panthers defense does come alive, trying to think back to the Broncos game last week, it seemed like that was more aerial attack than ground game, but the Broncos rushing attack, you know, all around offensive line. I mean, I do like Melvin Gordon probably more than most, but yeah, give me Aaron Jones right now and his athleticism and his extra burst. So that's something that could maybe be more of an advantage to exploit. But then again, if the advantage of Rodgers to Adams is an automatic every play, isn't that almost safer than running it sometimes?
Yeah, and the big thing is, again, it's down and distance. You know, on first down, when the Packers are comfortable with getting six or seven. I mean, that first drive last week was like epically awesome. It's like, all right, first pass, you know, we got seven, then we can run it. Then it's like, hey, throw it to Adams, you know, beautiful move, cut back inside, touchdown. It was like, how do you play defense against that? Do you want to stack the box? Do you want to, you know, play with extra CB dime style? That's a perfect situation. And LaFleur was kind of hitting on it where he's like, you know, all of our second downs, it's up to Rodgers with like a run pass option where he goes to the line, no matter what they're playing, he can call out of it. And to Rodgers' credit, he does call a lot of runs in it too. So it's not like he's just pass happy. It's just clicking, man. We're a well-oiled machine. Maybe, yeah, I'm just going to say right now, I'm going to be greedy. I want a 40 burger this week. Let's lay 40 on him.
Enough about the offense. We expect that to be good. Now, defensively, I do think, again, maybe catching a little bit of a lucky break here, that the Panthers are going to be probably without DJ Moore. So suddenly, from a wide receiver perspective, you've got Curtis Samuel, you've got Robbie Anderson. You've got two threats as opposed to three. Although, again, the way Chan and Sullivan's been playing, and yeah, Troy picked on him a little bit in the first half, but I thought he tightened up after those initial two really long drives, and I thought he played much better towards the end, and it seemed like Stafford started looking more Kevin King's direction in the second half. Not to say King played poorly, because even on some of those catches that he allowed, he was still able to, he was in good position, and it's just, man, that receiver made a really great player. Stafford threw that to the right spot, and it's sometimes that happens, where you can have perfect coverage and still not be able to make the play. I felt that King was more that than, oh man, King left this guy wide open. Like we've seen in the past before. I truly think this might be King's most consistent year. Yes, he was healthier last year than this year, but I thought he just played very poorly often last year. There, maybe not often, but it seemed like almost every game there was a play that was just, oh well, yeah, there's the touchdown, or wow, really lucky the quarterback missed that throw on that wide open guy that King allowed.
Yeah, I will say, like, this year is the first year in a while now, knock on wood somewhere, that we aren't just getting like a smoked on a dumb play over the top. We're like, oh, we just got torched. Like, yeah, there's a few plays that we're not going to bring up that were bad tackling, but they were like a short pass. And then the guy ran all across the defense and everybody on defense missed him. There, I can think of two of them this year that were, oh my God, that was awful. Yeah. But as far as the big play over the top, they're not happening, you know? So, and that's a good thing, right?
Richie James, right? Richie James versus, again, Josh Jackson. And maybe that's why that happened, right? That's like the only time someone's really getting beat deep repeatedly too in that game somehow.
Yeah, late game, guys in the game that shouldn't be in. Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about that one. I was thinking more of the Kamara and then
Pittman.
Yeah, Pittman.
Yeah, I was thinking those two as the short ones as you were describing. But like, and I was trying to think back too, like, who's really beat them deep? Like, it's been like for your offenses to beat the Packers, you really do have to chunk, you know, not chunk play, but like drive, you know, long drives, get there and then, you know, get close and you could probably punch it in. And let's, you know, Packers really can't stop anyone from getting 1 yard. That's the secret. So just keep them at the 2 yard line, but don't let them get to the 1 yard line.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the scheme where they're like, you know, okay, if you're going to have to dink and dunk and going on the field, we trust our guys that we're going to get a sack and make it a, you know, third and long, which that doesn't always work. But you're not going to match us, because if you're going to let our offense do that, we're going to score every day in time. You know, so it's not necessarily terrible. Going back to special teams, if they stop people there too, this is a 2-score win, no problem. But anyways, back to Carolina. I do think DJ Moore has a really good chance to play. I do. It's been 2 weeks with COVID. I know his ankle's been bothering him, but I think they might get him back. And if they do, they have some quick, big play receivers that I really respect. Christian McCaffrey, I don't know how he's going to be or if he's going to be back. But Mike Davis, you know, he grinds out some yards. He's averaging, you know, like 4.5, 4.6 a carry, but he's also in the passing game. I like their receivers. I really do. DJ Moore is a big play waiting to happen. 50 catches, averaging over 18 yards a catch. He only has 4 touchdowns, but he makes plays. And then Robbie Anderson coming over from the Jets last year, like that guy caught a bomb like every other week. So this is some good receivers. Now, Teddy Bridgewater is not the quarterback in Stafford, in my opinion, but they do present some problems.
I also think, and again, now it becomes a three-headed receiver monster with Curtis Samuel as well. And I do think in that instance, I mean, this is going to be a tough matchup for King, tough matchup for Sullivan, and I mean, Alexander, he's always tasked with tough matchups, and he comes through all the time.
Someone's getting a race this week. I don't care who it is. One guy's getting a race. It's the other two.
And I think just because of, you would probably think it would have to be more, right? Like as the absolute biggest threat. But again, coming off not only COVID, but the ankle, you know, that play where he got injured a couple of weeks ago was really weird. It was like, was that the ankle? Was that the other knee? Like, so because of that, I would think they're probably just going to stick to their sides and they're not going to stress about who Alexander's covering. He erases whoever he's covering on play to play, but they're not going to stress about who it is because the other two are just as big a threats. So you suddenly, I don't think, can rely on him shadowing to take away that aspect. I think, you know, you're doing that, you're stressing out defense and trying to you know, make those calls. I think this is a game where you really just let Alexander on his side, King on his side. Whoever they're covering is who they're covering on that play.
Yeah. I agree. You know, give Alexander the bigger side of the field, you know, and if they want to try to pick on Alexander or try to beat him, good luck. You know, go for it. Well, we'll take those odds. You know, take, especially with how the safety play has been, make them beat somebody else.
Yeah, and then, I mean, I'm not that worried about the Panthers' offensive line either. So this, again, should be another game. Clark, can, if he plays the way he did against the Lions, that goes a long way. Although, again, I don't know how, because have you noticed Smith getting double-teamed as often as he did against the Lions? Because I haven't.
No, he hasn't, and even with us moving him around, like you were saying earlier, he was such a focal point last week. It was crazy because no one's done that this year, where last year he was getting doubled all the time. And then it just seemed like the Lions, that was the one guy they tried to take away, which, okay, that's cool. You know, we got other guys. Before going further, I also want to say Carolina does not use their tight ends like the last couple teams. So that's a real plus for us too. So keep going.
Yeah. Ian Thomas, forget him. That's no. Well, it to be fair, it's funny because last year without Bridgewater, with a totally different coaching staff too, it was the offense was so concentrated on like four or five guys, and it seems like it's the case again. Whoever's the running back, or you know that one game where McCaffrey and Davis play, they both got a lot of work, and then the three receivers, like that's really all it is. You know, and it's like, I mean, you know, the fourth receiver, Brandon Zylstra, most people probably don't even know his name, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, not normal fans, they just don't use them. I think they have one tight end touchdown this year. I got to do more research, too, if I'm going to say, hey, they got Mercedes Lewis kind of blockers, because I really doubt that, too. So it's
well, I mean, I was your joke earlier that Mercedes Lewis blocks as well as some left tackles. I was almost thinking in my head, should the Bengals sign him to be their left tackle?
No, they're going to get the best one in the draft. Not this true. Year is going to be a stud. But
well, we shouldn't just assume that they're going to make rational decisions.
You're right. Yeah, they're going to go with another quarterback.
Oh boy, that'll happen. Yeah, we're really worried about Burrow. Yeah, no, okay, maybe not that irrational. we hope. I mean, for Bengals fans' sake, I really hope. That means an AFC team. We're probably never going to have to worry about them. So yeah, the Bengals can do as well as they want. I don't care about that. So I think we'll see how the Panthers approach Za'Darius Smith, or if they kind of go with the conventional, okay, we're going to try and double team Kenny Clark, and you know, is that going to let Za'Darius Smith run amok, right? It's what can you live with, really, is what the offense is going to have to figure out. So it's, I guess we'll find out, because we really don't know how the Panthers are going to handle that.
Yeah, I mean, and if you want to take away Z, I'm, like I said, Gary's making plays every week. Okay. Yeah, it puts them on, which I will say, the Panthers tackles have actually been playing pretty good. Now the interior, not so good. So, okay, here comes Kenny Clark.
Which is truthfully how they built it, right? Because they traded away Turner to get Okun, right? So they sacrificed maybe their best offensive lineman, who was an interior lineman, to get a league caliber left tackle, which they've been missing. Even in the 15-1 season where they went to the Super Bowl, like, tackle was still a problem for them. So they figured it out, but now the rest of the team is kind of crumbling around it.
Yeah, you're right. And so, yeah, the inside, you know, they're sacrificing that, which you can hide with guards and stuff and all that good stuff, but you're not going to hide from Kenny Clark. And then you got guys like Kamal Martin were last week too. Like, he came through there like a lightning bolt, you know, and put Stafford on his butt. And you think about stuff like that, right? He didn't get the sack, but that's a hurry. It's a knockdown. And then you get a sack by Savage knifing through there against a better interior line. So, okay, if you want to play that game, good luck, you know, because we have rushers where you can put Preston and Gary on the field, and then you can kind of have Z move around like we did more last year, not as much this year, but you can do that. Okay, I like our chances with, you know, three fast guys and Kenny Clark coming at you.
You've already referenced Rashawn Gary. Did leave last game with an injury, and on the Tuesday injury report, because again, Saturday game, so everything kind of gets moved up a week, which is, again, why we're recording it now. And so he was listed today as limited with they're calling a hip injury, because they're pretty ho-hum about what it was in the first place, but they're listed as a hip injury. So I don't know if that necessarily helps us at all, but just know that, I mean, it's again, limited is better than did not practice, but does limited on Tuesday really mean much? No.
Yeah, I hope it's not much, because it was really strange how he kind of disappeared, you know, after that sack. I think he was out there for like another drive, and then nothing in the second half, and LaFleur kind of blew it off like, oh, yeah, he had to deal with something. So I'm thinking, did he get sick or something? Or, you know, because when you say he's just dealing with something, it was kind of, I don't know, like the Lamar Jackson thing last night. Like, hey, what's the problem? You got to go to the bathroom or what? You know, so it was weird how they did it. But now you say it came up as a hip. So I hope it's nothing major and he'll be good to go. Because, I mean, the last 4 weeks, the guy has made big plays. He's coming on strong.
Yeah, it's, again, mentioned a few times in the last couple weeks. He's really showing the reason they took him 12th overall last year.
Yeah, him and Burns are, you know, he went 12, Burns went 15, and they're almost lined up in pressures on a per snap basis. Gary's actually got a higher win rate. So, hey, I know I wanted Burns, but get Gary more snaps because he's getting it done.
Which is going to be interesting to see. You know, those two, I guess, they'll obviously not be playing against each other at any point, but they'll, you know, their teams are going head to head. So we'll see which player can make the better impact. Again, obviously, Gary's going to be going against the weaker of the two offensive lines between the Panthers and the Packers. So figure he gets the edge, but yeah, we'll have to see how it all plays out. So I think I've made my decision, by the way, on Packers player of the game. And it's actually, this happened a couple times in the game, not necessarily with this player, but where there were a couple of touchdown saving tackles, you know, the two or the one. And I guess the one of those tackles was Kenny Clark, you know, putting his weight on Matthew Stafford, realizing this, oh, now you can put your weight on a quarterback because he's running. And which I think is probably that hit is the reason that Stafford got knocked out of the game with the rib injury. And he may not play this week. Again, we're not playing them, so we don't care. We're not going to preview the Lions game. yes. But he wasn't the only one so again, another reason to give it to Clark, but Darnell Savage had one of those as well. Actually, and I just looked at the numbers. He did lead the Packers in tackles last week. 8 of them, all solo tackles too. So this is, you know, and as a safety kind of, you know, especially a free safety, a lot of times where he's playing, you've got to make the tackle alone because you're usually alone. Like if that player gets by you, it's usually a score. So I can't remember which, someone missed their tackle. I can't remember which player it was, but Savage was there to cover and again, stop him getting to the end zone. I believe they scored 2 plays later, so it didn't like really matter, but it was, you know, you're still forcing them to be out there longer and not, you know, not rush the game. Although I guess with those drives, you really wanted them to end because they were so long. But I think as much as I was kind of feeling of giving it to Valdez-Scanlon, I think got to give it to Savage this week. Really, again, no interception, no turnovers, but are we that surprised that the Lions didn't turn it over? Like Stafford, again, a smart quarterback, you know, the running back's not necessarily a long history of fumbling between Swift and Peterson. And I guess Kerryon got some carries. So, you know, no turnovers is, okay, you don't necessarily blame the defense too much, but again, Savage did everything he was tasked to do as that last line of defense, and again, he got the sack on a safety blitz, was just all over the field. It seems like every play was really making an impact. He and Amos, the two of them, really, and we've already given Amos one Packers player of the game, so I think this one has to go to Darnell Savage.
Well, I didn't know the criteria was you could only get it once a year, but you talked me into it. We're going Savage because this week MVS is going to go over 100 and he's going to have a TD. So, yeah, we'll go Savage this week.
And I think part of it is just because it could get so boring if do I give it to Rodgers this week or that week? So I kind of set myself, you know, just one. And that way we could get to talk about more players. We love talking about our players.
Rodgers to get Super Bowl one, right? That's the one he's going to get this year?
I don't know. Maybe Alexander gets a pick 6 in the Super Bowl. Who knows?
Okay, yeah, good point.
still a ways away, and I think as much as we would love to just place the Packers in the Super Bowl, I mean, truthfully, I think just the way the NFC is setting up, like there really doesn't seem like there's a true pretender. You could maybe argue whoever wins the NFC East, but the 6 other teams who make the playoffs probably all have a chance. So there's going to be no easy path, I think, through the NFC. The only easy path is who gets the first round bye, and that's just because you have to play one less game. So naturally that path is a little easier, right? So it's super key. And for the Packers, they now hold the... Also, bearing the lead, Packers are NFC North champions. We never mentioned that in the episode, 55 minutes.
Yep. NFC Championship, playoff berth, and we're just, hey, like the Packers say, one not done. So keep on moving forward, you know, control your own destiny. Aaron Rodgers said he's never had an NFC Championship game at home, and now they're in the driver's seat to do it. So, damn it, let's do it this year.
Yeah, really. You know, some recent NFC North struggles, again, always on the – or some NFC Championship game struggles, always on the North. Obviously, no struggles in the NFC this year. I mean, right now, what, they're sitting 4-1 with just the finale against the Bears to go. That's a nice record, knowing that you got a winning record in the division. That this game clinches that, actually, so that's also nice too. I just thought I realized that, but yeah, NFC North champions 2020. Nice to go back to back. It feels right.
Yeah, one loss in 2 years in the division. You know, hats off to Matt LaFleur and, you know, doing big things. But we're not done. And I love this team's mentality. Like, I cannot stress it enough how this team is not set on just winning the North or getting in the playoffs. Like, they are hellbound. Like, we need to do it. I don't want to say it kind of feels like John Elway when he was going out, because the Packers should have never lost that Super Bowl. But it's like that was their goal, right? So let's just one game at a time. Let's one week at a time. But it's trending in the right direction. Just get better every week. Go Pack, go.
There you go. I don't even need to ask your final thoughts at the end. Since we are at the end, always plug everything Full Press coverage, including our Twitter account here at Full Press Packers. It's at @FPC_Packers. Jesse's at @Hall_JHall1212. I'm at Senra Says. As always, download the Full Press coverage app. Get access to all the written content. Sam's recap article this morning. Jesse's upcoming Know the Foe article. Access to all of our podcasts, and of course, access to the Full Press Radio Network. That's all free on the Full Press coverage app, which you can download for free on Android and iOS stores. Yeah, I think I don't really think there's anything left to say other than the Packers are NFC North champions. I'll say it again. Because why not?
That's it. Yep.
If you talk about the regular season, mission accomplished. Because all the point of the regular season is to make the playoffs. So the primary mission accomplished. Now it's getting that first round bye, which is certainly viable. They're tied with the Saints. Got lucky that the Eagles got that win against the Saints to knock them down. Packers, Saints, same record. Packers have the tiebreaker with the head-to-head win, but they still need to keep winning.
And Kansas City, too.
Yep.
Yeah, so maybe you can afford a loss. Maybe, but...
Yeah,
I mean,
that's not even...
Exactly. It's,
yeah, you're right.
The mentality should be don't lose another game for the rest of the season, really. Maybe I'm a little worried about the Titans, but I'm not too worried about the Panthers. Hopefully that doesn't come back to bite us Saturday, but we'll talk about that next time on the Full Press Packers Pod.